Summer drove up Fillmore Street. This is TobeAPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our perch in San Francisco's scenic Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 27th of February, 2014. On this date, in 380, the Edict of Thessaloniki is issued, in which Emperor Theodosius I says that all Roman citizens should convert to Trinitarian Christianity. 1827, after years of at-home celebrations, for the first time, there are major and public Mardi Gras celebrations in New Orleans. 1860, Abraham Lincoln gives a speech at Cooper Union in New York City that makes him the Republican nominee and therefore future president. 1900, the British Labour Party is founded. 1933, Germany's parliament building in Berlin, the Reichstag, is set on fire. 1973, the American Indian Movement, AIM, occupies Wounded Knee, South Dakota. 1976, the formerly Spanish territory of Western Sahara, under the Polisario Front, declares independence as the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic, still a forgotten but big mess today amidst Moroccan annexation. 1988, members of the Armenian community in Sumgait were murdered by a mob. Birthdays today are Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, Spanish painter Joaquim Sorolla, Philadelphia singer Marian Anderson, California writer John Steinbeck, Ralph Nader, British writer Lawrence Durrell, American politician Lee Atwater, and a year ago today, Van Cliburn, American pianist, much admired in the USSR, died a year ago. Everybody remembers Monday, the 3rd of March, is Hispanahoba, the celebration of spinach, which is the first Monday of Lent and is an ancient inter-ethnic pagan celebration that lasted for centuries until the communists were successful in suppressing it because it freaked them out because it was so inter-ethnic and there was no real leadership, like with the church, that they could, you know, somehow plant agents in. And so everybody forgot about it. Anyway, this coming Monday is Hispanahoba, so tell everybody happy Georgian Mardi Gras and eat some spinach. Today it's just me, Mark Wellen. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to TobeAPod.com or send us an email at TobeAPod@gmail.com. On the 21st of February, President Georgi Margvelashvili, still amazes me to say that, delivered his first State of the Nation address to Parliament. Margvelashvili began his 47-minute address by asking the chamber to observe a minute of silence to honor the dozens of people killed in clashes in Kiev. Margvelashvili then spoke for 5 minutes about the president's role under the new constitution. He announced the 15th of June as the date of the local elections. After the speech, UNM members of parliament criticized the speech for lacking specifics. MP Goka Gabashvili criticized Margvelashvili for not mentioning, quote, not mentioning even a single word about Russia's criminal role in the developments in Ukraine, end quote. Another UNM lawmaker, Sergo Ratiani, accused Georgian Dream of pursuing two-faced policies both in foreign and domestic affairs, basically saying that you couldn't be pro-European without being anti-Russian. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili said that in terms of the president's constitutional powers, as well as in terms of Margvelashvili's personality, the country now has a president, quote, whom we are not ashamed of, whom we are not afraid of, whom we are not in love with, and a president in whom we have hope, end quote. On Monday, the 24th of February, Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili met with U.S. Vice President Joe Biden at the White House. President Barack Obama later joined the meeting. Topics included the two countries' strategic partnership, prospects for Georgia's integration into NATO and the EU, and reforms over the last year. Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze, who was also present at the meeting, said that the president expressed his support for the new government on several important issues, like the country's territorial integrity and its intention to become a member of the EU. Later, Kharabashvili said he discussed the possibility of a free trade agreement with the U.S. during his meeting with President Obama. Kharabashvili said that Obama will meet with U.S. trade representative. Kharabashvili told Obama that he will meet with U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman to discuss this issue. During his visit to the U.S., Kharabashvili met with U.S. Senators Roy Blunt, Carl Levin, Jeff Sessions, and Executive Director of the Millennium Challenge Corporation, Daniel Yohannes, to discuss bilateral relations and future cooperation. On the 25th of February, Kharabashvili laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. 330 soldiers took part in the ceremony. Kharabashvili also met with John McCain. They talked about deepening U.S.-Georgian bilateral relations and the borderization process related to the occupied territories and future cooperation. On the 26th of February, Kharabashvili met with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. Kerry once again called on Russia to comply with obligations under the 2008 ceasefire agreement. He also announced additional assistance from the U.S. to support Georgia's European and Euro-Atlantic vision. Kerry will visit Georgia in the spring. On the 21st of February, Dato Kipiani, a young UNM activist, was found dead at Khrushchevsk in Kiev. His bulletproof vest had bullet holes, suggesting a sniper killed him. As a reminder, Kipiani is the second Georgian to die in the political turmoil in Ukraine. Another Georgian, as we mentioned last week, Zura Khurtsia, died from a heart attack. Both corpses were repatriated. Georgian doctors received funds from Tbilisi City Hall to assist in humanitarian work. They are currently in Ukraine. On the 23rd of February, Georgians gathered at the old parliament building to pay tribute to those who died during the clashes between police and protesters. Organizers brought photos of victims and lit candles. Activists also started a campaign to collect money to pay for the treatment of those who were wounded. At least 4,000 lari has already been collected. On the 24th of February, Mish arrived in Ukraine and addressed the crowd at Maidan. He congratulated the Ukrainian people on their victory and urged them to do their best to withstand Russian pressure. During his visit, Misha also met with opposition leader Vitali Klitschko. Misha laid wreaths at the memory of the corner of Maidan for victims. He also spoke with a BBC correspondent. He said that what happened was a geopolitical revolution. Ukrainians have rejected Putin's Russia and Soviet mentality, which outlived the fall of the USSR. Tabula interviewed Givi Targamadze. He spoke about the revolution and domestic foreign political mistakes of the Georgian dream. He calls Yanukovych a criminal. According to him, Yanukovych was first convicted of robbery. He stole hats from people when they entered bathrooms. Second conviction involved rape. He criticized the Georgian government for its position on the developments in Ukraine. He commented on the NGO Citizen, quote, "this experiment of raising society and teaching it will fail," end quote. He called Bidzina brainless. Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili also spoke about the events in Ukraine and said that certain foreign influences played a destructive role. He added that Russia may increase political pressure on Georgia before it signs the association agreement. On the 25th of February, Irakli Kharabashvili stated in his speech at the Atlantic Council that NATO should grant a membership action plan, or MAP, to Georgia at its summit in September. He called on the EU to make a clear, and I'm quoting, a clear promise of membership to the successful countries of the Eastern Partnership. Kharabashvili answered questions from Voice of America correspondent on whether Misha is welcome back in Georgia and said, quote, "I can't promise that people are missing him, but he can come back," end quote. I can't promise that we won't throw him in jail. No, he didn't say that. Following up on last week's story, the government decided to commit 100 troops to the EU's force in the Central African Republic beginning in May. As a reminder, Catherine Ashton, High Representative for the EU, officially requested Georgia's participation in a letter to the Minister of Foreign Affairs. The EU is sending 1,000 soldiers, which will complement 6,000 African Union peacekeepers and almost 2,000 French troops already there. The Georgian translation of the association agreement, which the country is expected to sign with the European Union this year, is available online. The document consists of more than 1,000 pages. It's divided into three sections: political cooperation, sector cooperation, and deep and comprehensive free trade area. The date of the signing of the association agreement was moved up from September to August 2014 because the EU is freaking out about Russian pressure. On the 20th of February, the government launched negotiations with the European Commission on joining the EU's energy community. The Commission said in a press release that by becoming a member, Georgia will have closer ties to the EU's single energy market, which will help to attract investment and increase the financial sustainability of Georgia's energy sector. The signing of the accession agreement is scheduled for October. That is great and a very important step. But did I miss something? Is there a single EU energy market? I mean, did somebody tell the Germans that? I mean, I don't know. I haven't really heard that there is one. I mean, maybe they're pretending that there's one. Or maybe there really is one, and I don't know. Anybody knows anything about this, let us know. On the 25th of February, Foreign Minister Maya Panjshikidze stated that Russia may not remove an 11-kilometer security zone from inside Abkhazia, which was allegedly created for the duration of the Winter Olympic Games. Reconciliation Minister Pata Zakharashvili commented on the issue, saying that it was a security zone, not a state border. Russians can stop and check people, but they can't do anything else. According to him, the Russian security zone will continue in Abkhazia until the 21st of March. Goga Oniani, a former police official who is now the defense attorney representing former Defense Minister Bacho Akhalaya, was arrested. Oniani was arrested for allegedly fabricating evidence and illegally detaining a man in late 2011 when he served as deputy chief of police in Guldani Nadzaladevi district. Prosecutors claim that Oniani fabricated a case against a man because the man was producing T-shirts with Georgian Dream logos on them. Oniani said that his arrest was politically motivated because he was going to run for a majoritarian seat in the Sacrobulo with local elections in June. On the 26th of February, Tbilisi City Court gave Oniani a 20,000 lari bail, which he has not yet paid. Former Prime Minister Vano Medavashvili is boycotting his trial pertaining to the 26th of May case. Vano said his rights continue to be violated since he will no longer be able to have long-term visitors in prison. He addressed the penitentiary department and the prosecutor's office and said he would be grateful if he had a chance to see his family members. Former Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava announced he will participate in the upcoming local elections, though he did not specify which position he will run for. He commented he would not be restricted only to the Tbilisi area. Maybe he'll run in wherever it is, the Gudaori, north of Tbilisi, since that he made that part of Tbilisi for a while. Ugulava is suing Tbilisi City Court for suspending his authority as mayor. The Constitutional Court has decided it will take 4 months to decide whether or not it will consider Ugulava's lawsuit. On the 12th of February, Reconciliation Minister Pata Zakharishvili spoke about Abkhazia, South Ossetia, and the Georgian-Russian relations at the Carnegie Endowment in D.C. We heard that following Zakharishvili's speech that it was kind of underwhelming, not a lot of new ideas, a lot of platitudes, saying things that everybody knew, which is too bad, because certainly we could use some new ideas there. President Gheorghe Margvelashvili appointed ambassadors to Moldova and Saudi Arabia. Congratulations on Moldova's on the visa arrangement with the EU. Fabulous. Let's hope that that gets to Georgia sooner rather than later. Merab Antidze will be the ambassador to Moldova starting on the 1st of March. Formerly, he was Georgia's representative to Guam. Gheorghe Janjgava will be ambassador to Saudi Arabia starting from the 3rd of April. Formerly, he was ambassador to Ireland. The former president's envoy to Kodori Gorge, Emzar Kvitsiani, will arrive in Georgia from Russia, according to a sister who said he was deported. According to the Ministry of Internal Affairs, Emzar Kvitsiani is a wanted man. He will be detained if he returns to Georgia. Kvitsiani is wanted on charges of organizing a military mutiny in July 2006 and terrorist acts. About 600 miners in Chiatuda are on strike. They demanded that management fulfill promises made a year ago, including a pay raise. The company also promised to improve their working conditions. The miners warn that if their demands are not met, about 3,700 workers will join them. Head of the Tourism Administration, Gio Sigua, said spa tourism in Georgia will be a main priority of the government over the next few years, especially in Skhaltubo. According to Sigua, last year, 95% of tourists who visited Skhaltubo Resort were from Kazakhstan, Russia, Ukraine, and Azerbaijan. The Skhaltubo Spa Resort, 4-star complex with 59 rooms, opened in 2011. This spring, one more hotel named Skhaltubo Plaza will open. The government allocated 2.4 million lari to build 81 new medical centers in Georgia. The small clinics will be funded by the Municipal Development Fund, and each will measure 31 to 33 square meters. All 81 facilities will be completed by September 14th. 31 to 33 square meters is very small, but I'll believe September 2014 when I see it as the completion date. Following up on the story from last week about synthetic cannabinoids, just a clarification. The synthetic cannabinoids we were discussing are called BO in Georgian, but they are better known in the U.S. as Spice or K2, which I've never heard of, but there you have it. None of these substances are technically banned under current Georgian legislation, but this will soon change because they have certainly hit the streets over the last several months, a year, that, as people say. The government is planning a number of ways to improve road safety. They plan to begin teaching road signs and traffic rules in school. According to the Interior Ministry's 2014 strategy, the government will introduce a new type of number plates that will be in full compliance with European standards. Additional speed measurement radar devices will be installed throughout Georgia. I'll also believe that when I see it, but that would be a great thing since there's certainly a lot of speeding going on if they've got cameras on those things. On the 25th of February, flags hung at half-mast to mark the Red Army's invasion of Georgia in 1921. Members of Parliament paid tribute to the memory of Georgian cadets, or the Junkers, in the old Parliament Yard. In 2010, the Parliament unanimously adopted a resolution declaring the 25th of February Georgian Soviet Occupation Day. On the 20th of February, it was reported on Facebook that BI suspended his financial assistance to actors. According to Cartouche Foundation's lawyer, the foundation will give grants to ministries to fund representatives of education, arts, and sports. The ministries need time to go through the necessary legal procedures, and they will be able to issue these funds by the end of February. In response to UNESCO's including the Georgian Kvevedi method of making wine on the list of intangible cultural heritage in December, President Georgi Margvelashvili visited the complex center Gvirabi in Kvareli. Margvelashvili said in his speech that the Georgian nation has a living history and none of its enemies could stop Georgia, nor will they ever be able to stop Georgia. The event was organized by the Ministry of Agriculture and the Wine Khareba. Government representatives and diplomatic corps representatives attended the event. On the 22nd of February, thousands of people visited Mskete to celebrate the church's removing of St. Gabriel from his tomb and moving him to Tbilisi. Due to the high number of visitors, the roads heading to Mskete were closed to vehicles. Soldiers protected the monastery, and only people with special permits were able to enter the church's territory. Later, the body was transferred to Sameba, where the parish will be able to visit him till the end of the week. As a reminder, the priest Gabriel was recognized as a saint by the Holy Synod in 2012. On the 8th of January, monkmarebelli.ge received a Facebook message from an unknown user to check the quality of dairy products at Monstris Baraka, a shop located in the yard of the Sioni Church. According to the results, their dairy products do not include milk and are not natural. Dairy products that don't include milk. Wonder what that is. 11% of the population needs a living allowance. According to the Social Service Agency under the Ministry of Health, last month, 450,000 people received a living allowance. In an interview with the newspaper Kvitis Palitra, Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri criticized the country's economy for not being competitive. Khaduri was quoted as saying, "Georgian products cannot even compete well in the local market because of the lack of credit and not enough human capital." Commerçant.ge reported that Egyptian and Georgian investors are putting money into a grape processing plant in the Kutaisi Free Industrial Zone. The investors have already bought 30 acres of vineyards and plan to invest $2 million in the project. At this point, six Egyptian companies are operating in Kutaisi's Free Industrial Zone. The Temporary Commission for the Selection of Georgia's New Currency Symbol chose the five best submissions out of a total of 231 submitted samples. The commission includes representatives from the National Bank, the Parliamentary Finance Committee, the State Council of Heraldry, the Ministries of Education and Culture. You can vote online for your favorite on the official website of the National Bank, nbg.gov.ge. The band The Shin and Mariko Ebralidze together with will represent Georgia in the Eurovision concert in 2014 in Copenhagen. Their song is called 3 Minutes to Earth. Semifinals will be in Copenhagen from the 6th to the 10th of May. The final show will be held on the 10th. On the 22nd of February, Georgia's national rugby team defeated Russia 36-10 in the 2014 European National Cup tournament. More than 50,000 people attended the game at Dynamo Stadium. The match began with a minute of silence for the victims of Ukraine. In parliamentary news, the leader of the Green Party, Member of Parliament Gia Gacaciladze, left the Georgian Dream Coalition along with his party, meaning his party left, not he left his party. Gacaciladze said that they plan to leave the coalition in December. The Green leaders claim his party isn't treated seriously among the coalition. He's been connected to that party for a very, 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 very long time. It would be, good maybe if they looked into, sharing the love a little bit in that party. Human Rights Committee is considering a draft law put forward by the Healthcare Committee on human organ transplants. The draft aims to increase the circle of potential donors from solely blood relatives to relatives by marriage. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, on the 23rd of February, Ratia Maklobeli spoke about Georgian attitudes towards death and dead people, including St. Gabriel. He criticized Georgians for paying too much attention to dead people because, as he put it, Georgians have a materialistic interest in the immortality of the body after death. He noted that there were special permits for access to St. Gabriel's grave. He quotes the Gospel of Luke, quote, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" End quote. Interesting. Meme this week, Soviet Russia through the eyes of an American, filmed by Charles Edward Stewart between 1926 and 1930. Some parts of the movie are from Georgia, and it shows different cities, including Batumi, Tbilisi, Sukhumi, Chiatuda, and Kutaisi. Also, Behzad Bolor of the BBC's Persia service talks to Iranian musicians and singers, finding ways of breaking the restrictions on public performance of music and songs inside Iran. He meets Iranian exiles rapping in Dubai, Iranian heavy metal bands in Georgia, and Iranian exiles elsewhere finding freedom of expression through pop, rap, heavy metal music, and fashion. Both these memes will be on the forum. Things to read. As I mentioned, there's a very interesting article, sort of gossip from Givi Targamadze, who has a habit of knowing lots of interesting things, of which about 70% are sometimes true. He talks about Yanukovych's connections to various criminal and industrial clans in eastern Ukraine and oligarchs and how he got a start and all of that stuff. We'll post that. Great article by Peter Baker in the New York Times. It says that Ambassador Teft, formerly of Georgia, maybe appointed U.S. ambassador to Russia, but maybe that will freak them out, so maybe not. It all relates to McFaul leaving his post after a couple of years, which, you know, was a little bit early. He's the outgoing ambassador. Peter Baker, by the way, is important. The very first time that the international press covered, I think he was with the Washington Post at the time, and I may have mentioned this in an earlier podcast a long time ago, but the first time that there was any Fishers mentioned in the Citizens Union Party, Mokhtar Dikaushvili, was in 2001, saying that Shevardnadze was sort of losing his shine among some of the younger people in the party. He quoted a fairly unknown Vano Merabashvili, saying that, you know, to get anything done, you needed to be a relative of the president. That led to the diehard corrupt people in the CUG freaking out and figuring out what the heck they were going to do to him in a big private meeting afterwards. And who came to his defense but the head of the legal committee, Misha Saakashvili, and they were thick as thieves, no pun intended, thereafter. An article by Yochi Drazen in Foreign Policy about Prime Minister Kharabashvili. According to the author, Kharabashvili at 31 is the youngest elected head of government in the world. In his interview, Garibashvili said that he hopes Georgia's increasing integration into Europe will gradually persuade the citizens of South Ossetia and Abkhazia that it would be in their own interest to rejoin Georgia. Tbilisi is slated to sign the association agreement with the EU in August, bringing Georgia closer to full membership, and Garibashvili predicted that within the next 5 years, Georgian citizens will be able to travel to the EU without visas, and that the country's economy will rapidly expand because of the growing trade with Europe. Residents of the breakaway regions, he believes, will want those perks for themselves. An article by Dennis Samet in commonspace.eu, in which he argues that Georgia should now be given EU and NATO membership regardless of what Russia says. He's more talking about NATO than the EU. According to the author, during the last 2 years, the Georgian political elite have shown an increasing maturity. He said that Russia's attempts in 2013 to undermine the EU's Eastern Partnership strategy was not successful in Ukraine. He added that that NATO membership for Georgia is a taboo, and that taboo needs to be broken. Samet is a Maltese guy who's been floating around Georgia for a very, very long time and is a very, very knowledgeable and worth listening to. An article by Eli Lake in the Daily Beast about Ukraine's Washington, D.C. lobbyist. Viktor Yanukovych's lobbyists in Washington are unsure if they work for him anymore or not. One lobbying firm is the European Center for a Modern Ukraine, or ECFMU, a think tank based in Brussels that supposedly supports Ukraine's integration to the EU, but is really closely tied to Yanukovych's party, who, as we know, are a bunch of thievish jerks. Podesta's group, which is run by the brother of the White House Special Counsel John Podesta, and Mercury, a PR firm staffed by former Republican Congressman Vin Weber and other Republican lobbyists, that have contacts with ECFMU. According to reports, the lobbyists pressed lawmakers to oppose a resolution from Senator Dick Durbin calling for the release of Yulia Tymoshenko. An article by TI Georgia titled "Ban on Land Sales, Stories from Large Foreign Farmers." In spring of 2013, two members of parliament, Gigla Agulashvili and Zurat Khemaladze, drafted a ban on all non-Georgian citizens from purchasing or inheriting agricultural land. The ban will expire in December 2014. Prior to this decision, there were several minor protests by Georgian farmers against foreign landowners. In September 2013, TI Georgia challenged this ban as vaguely worded, discriminatory, and unconstitutional, and likely to have negative effects on the development of the agricultural sector. The Constitutional Court heard TI Georgia's case, Matthias Hutter versus Parliament of Georgia, in January 2014. The judgment is pending. After TI Georgia's claim was filed, the Ministry of Economy proposed that they modify the ban. The draft law was approved in February 2014. The law will create a government-appointed commission that will judge foreigners' applications to purchase agricultural land on a case-by-case basis. Oh, boy. A new book by the Konrad Adenauer Foundation and the Georgian Institute of Politics, Georgian Foreign Policy, called The Quest for Sustainable Security, a multi-author volume with insights and analysis on the challenges and prospects for Georgian foreign policy. Contributing authors include Gia Nodia, Stephen Jones, Corneli Kakachia, Zaur Shiriev, Mamuka Tseratelli, and Neil McFarlane, among many others. So a bunch of smart people there. Check that book out. Sounds interesting. BBC article entitled Artists Use Google Glass to Interact with Museum Visitors, which describes a Georgian artist named Dato Datuna, who's been in the U.S. for a long time and is a big shot, who presented a multimedia flag at the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. The art exhibit titled Viewpoint of Billions Interacts with Google Glass. There's a BBC thing about it. It looks incredibly cool. So first of all, if you're in Washington, go see it. Second of all, if you're not, watch the thing and look how cool it is. I had not previously heard of this artist. All this stuff is on our forum. This week's geo capital number is $1.5 billion, which is the total amount of remittances to Georgia in 2012. Remittances amount to 5% of GDP. Russia is the number one remittance source country with 53% of all transferred money. While in the month of December, more than $60 million was transferred to Georgia from Russia, the amount of money coming from the other top 10 remittance source countries combined was only $40 million. Greece is the second largest remittance source country. The sum transferred from Greece in 2012 amounted to $153 million. In 2012, in Armenia, remittances were estimated to be $2.1 billion. Azerbaijan and Russia received $1.9 billion and $5.7 billion, respectively, in 2012. This week's English language movies at the Rooster Valley Movie Theater across from Parliament are on Saturday, the 1st of March, American Hustle at 5:15. Go see it. It's awesome. Wednesday, the 5th of March, The Wolf of Wall Street at 7 p.m. is also very good. Next, Works in Progress will be on Wednesday, the 5th of March at 6:15. Helena Skosodry from Jagiellonian University will present Religiosity Among Women in Georgia and Poland. The address is 3 Kavsadze Street. Notice the location change. Everybody, buy Will Dunbar's new book, Beyond Sochi. The book has incredibly famous and awesome photographer Thomas Dvorak's photos and is written by Tapiopod's very own Will Dunbar. What began as a National Geographic Commission in 2012 became an e-book. For those of you who could not attend the launches in New York, Paris, Moscow, Tbilisi, and London last week, or who purchased purchased the limited edition map set, a Kindle book is now available on Amazon. So just go into Amazon and do Beyond Sochi Kindle, and you will find it. This week, past week, I was finally able to visit Karigi Gogo in Portland, which is the Georgian food truck in Portland, Oregon. Okay, if you are in Portland and looking for some great Georgian food, go there. I went there, and there's this giant block of food trucks all the way around, smack dab in the middle of downtown. And this was the only food truck. I went there at not a particularly popular time. It was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was a line at the place, and it was the only truck with a line. I met the people there. The food was fantastic. It was really cool. So go, if you know anybody in Portland, then be sure to tell them they've got Badrijani, Lobiani, Khingali, Khachapuri, Imeruli, Khachapuri, and more. How they make Khingali in a food truck, I have no idea, but they do. And then right after that, in bloom, Georgia's nomination for the Academy Award was showing right nearby, and they told me about that, and so we went to go see that and enjoy that. Kind of a bleak early 90s movie, but interesting. So, for more information, go to kotagigogo.com or look up at kotagigogopdx on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We'll post a photo on the forum. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. We'll finish with Amy Stewart's 1979 hit, Knock on Wood.